Song of Solomon, or the Canticles, chapter 4. The title is The Gardener and His Garden. This is not at all an attempt at uniqueness or cleverness or originality. It's just a truth. It's just a truth. We're going to see how the Lord is indeed that great gardener, and His church is His garden. And this book, some of you may know, some of the old Puritans did not want it to be in the Bible because it is so intimate. But this is indeed an intimate story, a love story between Christ and His church. They have intimate communion and talk. They talk about one another and their love to one another, express their love to one another and their intimacy together. And this is like communion, like the Lord's table. It's a very personal thing, very intimate thing. And only God's people can really enter into this book. It's for them. But chapter 4, verse 12, the Lord said, "A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse." He calls the church, He calls us, He calls you His sister, His spouse, His beloved. A spring shut up. And that means this is not for the public. This is like that gated community. This is enclosed or a walled garden. This is His private sanctuary where He meets with His bride. And nobody else can come in here and disturb this. That's what this is talking about. The church. And then verse 15, this is a fountain of gardens. He's speaking of His church, His people, right? Us. A fountain. Remember our Lord said to that woman, there'll be a spring, a well of living waters. This is one of those wells of salvation where the Lord meets with His people. A fountain, a garden. And then that prayer, verse 16, and we pray, Lord, come into Your, blow upon this garden, let the spices, the sweet-smelling savor of Christ flow out, and let My beloved come into this garden, and oh, may we bear the fruit unto Him that He takes great pleasure in. And He says, I am come. Chapter 5, verse 1, I am. I'm here. I'm here, and He says, I've drunk of this wine and milk myself. And she said, drink, my beloved. Drink abundantly. Open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. So I hope the Lord will bless this. Go to Genesis chapter 1 with me. Genesis 1. Mankind started in a garden. It all started in a garden. The Lord made a garden. When He made man, He put man in a garden. There's never been a more glorious garden. It was more glorious than any other, than all others combined. Solomon's gardens, I'm sure, were beautiful, but nothing like the Garden of Eden. Nothing like it. It was designed and created and planted by the Lord God Himself. He planted it. He's truly the master gardener in it. I'm not trying to be clever. This is what the Lord did. He made a garden. And it began with water. We'll not read all of this. I have hundreds of verses. But the first three verses begin with water. And then it goes on, verse 7, the firmament. The water is under that. And water everywhere. Verse 10, dry land, earth, the gathering together of the waters. And you cannot have life without water. It began with water, didn't it? The water of life. Water gives life. Water sustains life. Well, that's the Word. When God spoke, things were created, didn't it? And there was water there. And we're born of the water and His Spirit. And so that's the Word. That's Christ Himself. He is our life. He that hath the water of life in him, Christ in you, is the hope of glory. You have life. So He is that water of life. And then verses 11, it says, the earth brought forth grass. He makes us to lie down in green pasture. The herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, seed and fruit trees and grass and seed. Kept talking about seed. You know, surely, this is alluding to our Lord. It's a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the seed from which all life springs. But then verse 12 says, the earth brought forth grass, herb yielding seed after his kind, a tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good. He began to make the earth, create the earth, and he saw it was good, full of grass and herbs and trees and fruit trees. And God said, this is good. And he enjoyed it. We're going to see that. Chapter 2. Go to Genesis chapter 2. Verse 6. There went up a mist from the earth. There was no rain. Verse 5 says it had not rained on the earth. It went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Can you imagine? Perfect. It was just perfect. What that must have been like, we can only imagine. And God formed, look, verse 7, the Lord God, and let me show you something. In chapter 2, he was referred to as God, singular. Okay? Let us, Spirit, Word, let us, these three are one. He's just called God. In chapter 2, he begins to refer to himself as the Lord God. Jehovah God. Okay? And this Lord God was forming things. See, he spoke things before this, and now he is forming man. This is Christ. God is spirit. Okay? But the Lord Jesus Christ had a body to it. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things were created. Without him was not anything made that was made. And he's the one, and it says he formed man out of the dust of the ground. I love thinking about the Lord. He often did things with the spittle of his mouth. He healed blind eyes and deaf ears and all that with the clay that he made. Well, he made man out of this clay. And I love thinking about it. It's sending me chills up my spine right now. Love thinking about the Lord. You know, you've got all these sculptors like Michelangelo. The Lord got down in that, and maybe from his mouth and from that mist and wet clay, and began to form this creature. And the angels are watching this. He'd already made cattle, already made this whales and all that, and now he's making something in his likeness. See? He's a man. He's got a body. And made this creature, and there he is, just looks just like the Maker. Wonderful to think about. And then he kissed him. He blew in his nostrils, it said, and this inanimate lived. The most glorious creature God had ever made. Surely the angels were just awestruck. And then he planted a garden. He planted this garden. Every plant in it, because every plant that our Heavenly Father doesn't plant, that the Lord doesn't plant, is going to be rooted up in it. We're called plants of the Lord, aren't we? Trees of righteousness, which he's planted. That's a fact. There are tares and there are wheat. The enemy sows tares. Well, they're going to be rooted up, aren't they? But not his people. Those are plants of the Lord's. Planted. And they're good. And he planted this garden. And verse 9, out of the ground made the Lord to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Whew. Do you know how many trees there are? But I'll give you a few of them. Do you know that? Where did I go? Do you know there are over 60 fruit trees? Edible. Orange. I'm going to whet your appetite. Orange trees. Apple trees. Grapefruit tree, cherry, banana, mango, peach, and man says this all evolved.
pear, plum, fig, papaya, pomegranate, coconut, avocado, and on it goes. Every shape, every color, every taste. Amazing. Now, what about nuts? Trees, walnuts, pecans, cashews, almonds. Who made this world? Our God made this world. Glorious garden created by our Lord God, by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 4, it says, "For thy pleasure, for thy glory, and for thy pleasure, they are and were created." And the Lord Jesus Christ walked in this garden. And he ate the pleasant fruits thereof, and the berries and the delights. And he walked with Adam and Eve. There's nothing he enjoyed more. That's why he created man, for his enjoyment, and for man to enjoy him and walk together. And where Adam and Eve would find the Lord would be always in his garden. That's where you will find him. If you want to hear his voice, if you want to walk with him and talk with him, if you want to hear him, speak to him, commune with him, love on him, he's in his garden. That's where you're sure to find him. What a great Lord and Creator, and what a wonderful place he made it. Well, he calls the church his garden. But you know what happened to that first garden of sin. Someone spoiled it. Serpent deceived the woman, the man took. They sinned against God. In chapter 3, you know, the Lord came walking in the cool of the day in the garden. Adam and Eve, who once loved to hear his voice and came running to him, ran from it, hid. Didn't want to see. That's sad. And the Lord cursed it. Look at verse 17. The Lord said to Adam, "Because you've hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns, thistles." Everything he said is significant here. Cursed. Sorrow, the ground, thorns, sweat, and you're going to be put back in the ground where you came from. He was driven out of the garden, and the Lord destroyed that garden and had no more physical paradise on this earth ever again. Now turn with me to John 18. 4,000 years later, he comes walking on earth. The same Lord. He came back to his earth. John chapter 18. He came back to this earth. He was made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the curse. He loved Adam, didn't he? He loved Eve. He did. And before he cast them out of the garden, he made a promise. The woman's seed. Seed of woman is going to bruise that serpent's head. But he's going to bruise his heel. That's Christ crucified. Well, he came. 4,000 years later, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, bless his holy name, to be made a curse. This is the second Adam from above. Going to reinstate us. Came to earth to labor. Our Lord said to Adam, "You have to labor. You have to sweat." Our Lord did. He worked 33 years. He worked out our salvation. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Because he did it alone, this work. Sorrow, our Lord said in sorrow. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. The Lord said, "Cursed, you're cursed, Adam." Our Lord came to be made a curse, didn't he? Huh?
thorns, Adam, our Lord wore a crown. Do you hear what it's called? A crown of thorns. That's the greatest crown any king has ever worn. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. Christ crucified removed the curse. He told the disciples right before this, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. A new paradise. A new place. If I told you, you wouldn't believe it. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have fully entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him, that he first loved. A new place. A new heaven, a new earth. Oh my. He said, the former shall not be remembered. Come to mind. For the glory of the latter. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Eternal paradise with our Lord. John 18, it says in verse 1 and 2, look at this. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron. And we've seen that before in David's life. He crossed that brook. There was a garden. Our Lord came back and he says in verse 2, Judas knew the place because he oft times resorted there with his disciples. Judas knew where to find him because he was always in this garden of Gethsemane. Mount of Olives. It's all significant. It was an olive press, olive tree. That's him. In the garden there was a tree of life. Remember? Tree of life, chapter 2. Revelation 22 begins with the tree of life. That's him. Well, he was always found in this garden. In Luke's gospel, it says where he was wont to be. That is, that's an old Greek or Hebrew word, meaning that's where he desired to be. That's where you would find him. And that's where he, that's where I want to be. Where he is in his garden. That's where the Lord was found. That's where the Lord enjoyed being with his disciples. He always took them into this garden with himself. If he wasn't alone, he took them with him, and where he fellowshiped with them and walked and talked with them and prayed with them, prayed for them. Chapter 19, John 19. Look at this. John 19, verse 38. Our Lord was crucified. Our Lord was made sin, made a curse, hung on the tree, as he said, as Scripture said. And he was taken down from that cross by order of our God. In verse 38, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of his, secretly for fear, but he came out publicly. You remember that? Begged for the body of Christ. So did Nicodemus, verse 38. He came, Nicodemus. They brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, 100-pound weight. Our Lord's body didn't need that, but they brought it symbolically, typically. And they took the body of our Lord Jesus, verse 20, wound it in linen clothes with spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury it. Verse 41, now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein nails never laid, and there they laid the body of the Lord Jesus in a garden, in the ground, he who was made a curse. His final resting place on this earth. He slept in a garden. Now prepare to laugh with me. Jeremiah 31. Go ahead. Jeremiah 31. Keep John. Hold John. We're coming back. Jeremiah 31. This is marvelous. You can just shout. Somebody can just shout if you feel like it. Jeremiah 31. This is wonderful. You know Jeremiah 30 and 31. Look at it. You have it? Jeremiah 31.
Verse 1, at the same time, saith the Lord, I will be the God of the families of Israel. They shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Verse 11. The Lord hath redeemed Jacob, ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Verse 12, look at it. They shall come and sing in the height of Zion, shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat, for wine, for oil. The young of the flock and the herd, their soul shall be as a watered garden. They shall not sorrow any more at all. Keep reading, it gets better. No, not better, but just as good. Verse 25, he says, I have satiated the weary soul. I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked. He arose. Did you read that with me? How could you not? And he beheld and said, my sleep was sweet to me. Go back to John 20. John 20, after they buried our Lord, first day of the week, John chapter 20, here comes a woman that loves him. Her beloved. She is his beloved and he is hers. And she's looking for him. You know where she's going to find him? In the garden. She came, verse 1, sees a stone taken away. She starts weeping. I can't find my beloved whom my soul loveth. I can't find him. Where have you taken him? They said, verse 13, the angels said, woman, why weepest thou? She said, they've taken away my Lord. I know not where they've laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw a man standing there. Knew not it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener. Now, why would the Lord write that? Because he is. Because that's exactly who this is. It's the same one in the beginning who made this garden and made that woman. You know, I just marvel at God's word, because in chapter 2 of Genesis 2, verse 22, is where the Lord took a rib out of Adam's side and made the woman. Well, Genesis 22, 2 is where the Lord told Abraham to take Isaac up on the mountain and sacrifice. And Psalm 22 is the Psalm of the Cross. That's where his bride came out of our Lord's wounded side. And after doing what he did, and Adam woke up after the Lord took that. Did Adam have a scar for the rest of his life? I think he did. I think he had a scar on his side as an emblem of our Lord, the second Adam who's to come. Doesn't say, but that's just what I'm thinking. And he awoke out of that sleep, deep sleep the Lord put him in. And this woman was there because he slept. And he said, this bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and cleaved to her. Our Lord, after he awoke, he arose, and this woman who loves him and he loves her comes. She supposed he was a gardener. Sir, if you've borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I'll take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She'd heard that voice before. Mary. Rabboni. Master. The gardener. Now, all that was the introduction. Seriously. Now, go back to Song of Solomon. That was the introduction. Like the whole Old Testament was the introduction. You know, 39 books introducing him who was to come. Song of Solomon, this is glorious. This is a love story between Christ and his church. Chapter 2, verse 16. My beloved is mine and I am his. That's what he calls her, and that's what she calls him. That's what God calls him, and that's what we call him. And that's what God calls her. And that's what he calls us. His beloved bride, my sister, my spouse. Did you catch that beautiful, that affectionate language? Oh, my sister first, my spouse. Thy love is better than wine, he said. That's amazing, isn't it? Chapter 4, verse 1. This is Christ talking to her. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eye. He's talking about her. You're fair. Beautiful to me. Verse 7. He says, thou art all fair. Everything about you, my love. There's no spot in thee. Now, how can that be? You know what she said about herself in chapter 1? I'm black. No, he said, you're comely. Now, how can that be? Because there's two people in God's people. Two people. They're not one. They're in the same person, but they're separated. There's a new creature created in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ without spot and without blemish. Holy, unblameable, unreprovable. That's the one God looks at. That's the one God loves. His creation. That's the one Christ bore that curse for and raised her quickened by His grace. That's the one He created. There's an old man that's ugly. Flesh. There's flesh and there's spirit. And that which is flesh is flesh. And someday, this old man, God's going to lay him in the ground. He's cursed. Put him away forever. But that new man, he'll go be with the Lord. In his garden. There's two people. And that's the one the Lord looks at. This new creation of His. This new Christ in you, the hope of glory. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. God's work. We don't have any part in this. Like Eve was made by God. Through Adam's side, so it is with God's people. Made by God, born of God through the riven side of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's His work. We're His workmanship, He said. Created in Christ's image. Without spot, without blemish. Altogether lovely to Him. He sees no fault in us. Isn't that something? But isn't that love? Isn't it? When you all first got married, I say first got married because after a while you start to see some spots. But when but if you still love one another, you still love one another. But you overlook them, don't you? You overlook them, don't you? You do. That's what love does. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth in the truth. That's love. That's love. Love, that's God's love for us and the love He puts in us. Blinds of faults, in a way, that's the only way the love is blind. It doesn't see our sins, but sees beauty. And that's something. He calls her, He calls us His garden, a place full of fruit and spices. Verse 12, chapter 4, verse 12, a garden enclosed is my sister. Shut up. That is, it's His garden. It's His church. It's His people. He's the one who is put in that garden is who He puts in that garden. Who He chose. They're His. And they're shut up. They're sealed, you see. They're enclosed. They're hedged about. They're walled about. And there's a well in there. It's just for His people. See that? Over in Revelation 22, when it talks about he that is thirsty, and the whole religious world likes to quote this, whosoever will, let him come. Bernard used to say, I'll give $1,000 to anybody that show me in the Scripture where it says, whosoever will, let him come. It doesn't say that. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And him that heareth say, come. You got to hear His voice. Let him that is athirst come.
whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And that's who the Spirit and the bride call. That's who hears his voice. They come. That's who he makes the blessed are they the hunger and thirst. They come. And whosoever will is made willing and made thirsty in the day of his power. And they come and they take the water of life freely. It's his garden. They're his plants. They're his people. And they're full of fruits, spices, all of which give glory to him that he enjoys. A fountain of living water, place than all besides more sweet. That's what Robin chose at the mercy seat. That's where Christ said, that's where I'll meet you. That's where I'll meet you, between the cherubim at the mercy seat. And his church, where the gospel is preached, is where he meets with his people. That's where you're going to find him. And brethren, the church is not a building. It's not a place, but it's people. You know this. You know this. It's where Christ is, where he delights to be. It's where they are and where they delight to be. It's just a fact. You don't have to beg the bride to come be with the bridegroom. You don't have to bribe her. You don't have to promise her anything. If she hears he's going to be there, she's coming. I really fear for some. Our Lord took great delight in her. He said, your eye, one of your eyes, has ravished me. If your eye be single, if you have only an eye for Christ, it ravishes his heart. You know, he has an eye, only has eyes for us. Isn't that something? He said that her lips, her mouth were sweet to him. The praises, the songs. Some of you complain about not being able to sing. Brethren, none of us can sing compared to the way it's going to be. We're all off key. Our pitch is bad. We're on the right key, aren't we, Jeanette? Middle C. We're all on the same key. We're all of one accord, playing one tune, one song, and that's Christ is all. Now we're off pitch, but we're in the same key. Right? And it's beautiful to him. He loves it. Mormon Tabernacle Choir is an abomination to his ears. It's all fake. It's all phony. It's all for man's glory. But just any lowly sinner that's singing the praise of our God and sincerity and sincere thanks for his mercy and his grace to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's beautiful music to our God's ears. This is the closest you'll ever get to the Garden of Eden on earth. You know that? It really is. John read from Isaiah 51, and I told him, I'm going to quote that verse. In verse 3, it says, the Lord will comfort Zion. He'll comfort her in those waste places. He'll make the wilderness like Eden. He'll make the desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found there. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody is going to be found in there. You go out there and it's just noise and pestilence. But you go in there, you're going to hear the sweet songs of Zion. And the smells, the sweet smelling savor of his sacrifice. And oh, the fragrance, the spices that flow thereof, out of it. But you know what? We're just like this Shulamite maiden. Black but comely. She got lazy. Other things made her lazy. She fell asleep in the enchanted ground. Chapter 5. Go back to Song of Solomon. Chapter 5. Remember, he said, I'm coming to my garden. Well, she said, well, I'm asleep. I put off my coat. I don't have time.
I'm laying down. I just don't feel like coming to the door. See, I stand at the door and knock. If any man out open, I'll sup with it. I'm tired.
What have you been doing? You knew I was coming. You said, I'm coming to my garden. Weren't you preparing for me? No, I was too busy. I was doing other things. So we left. We left. Okay.
That's idolatry. It's idolatry. It's fornication. It's adultery. Going after the lovers and the thing and all this. Forget your Lord. How could you do that? We all do it. She did. She went out and she thought she was never going to find him again. Didn't she? So I opened to my beloved and he withdrawn himself. Remember the God who hides himself? I sought him. I couldn't find him. I called and he didn't answer. You ever been there? We've all been there. We did it to ourselves. Said the watchman, verse 7, the watchman that found me wounded me, smote me. That's me. Mm-hmm. Oh, faithful are the wounds of a friend, brother, right? Mm-hmm. Smite me. Let the righteous smite me. It won't hurt. It's not going to hurt me. It's going to be good. I need smitten. What are you doing? Where have you been? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We miss Christ out of neglect. Don't let these things slip, he said. And she said, oh, I charge you, old daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, tell him for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. I'm sick. That's a good thing, though, isn't it good? To feel sick? To feel cold? Hot or cold? Lukewarm's not good. No feeling? Not good. It's a good thing to be chastened. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Get sick. Sick of yourself. Sick of the world. Sick with sin. That's because you love him. Vexed with all around you. And you need Christ. I got to go back. Hear the gospel. So she said. She said in chapter. Chapter 6. Look at chapter 6. Verse 1. She said, whither is thy beloved gone, O fairest among women? Where is he? That I may seek him with thee. She said, I know where he is.
He's in his garden. He's down there feeding. He's down there feeding among the lilies. And that's where I'm headed. Come on, go with me. She said, I found him. And verse 3, I'm my beloved. My beloved is mine. And it was all good again. All good again. In our text, one more, okay? Just let me show you one more thing here. Because this is what our Lord says to every disciple whom he calls out of this world. I read it with you in chapter 4, verse 8. We read it together. It says, come with me from Lebanon. Now, Lebanon was one of the most beautiful places on earth. He talks a lot about Lebanon in Scripture. Beautiful. He said about her, she had the smell of Lebanon. It must have just been a glorious place. Come out of that. No matter what, where you are, no matter what this world has to offer, it's not as glorious. It's not as pleasant. It's vanity of vanities. You got to come out of that and go where Christ is, outside the camp, into his garden. Come with me, my spouse, from Lebanon. Look from the top of a man. I'll show you like Mount Pisgah, the top of Shinar and Hermon. He talks about the lion's den. This world is a place where Satan is a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. You got to come out from among them. Come out. It's not a pleasant place. It's a dangerous place. That's where it is. Come out. Come with me. When our Lord comes for his disciples, he calls them out of the world. He come, whom seek ye? Master, where dwellest thou? Come and see it. Come with me. Come with me. If any man come after me, let him deny himself. Take up the cross and follow me. Come with me. And he says, you've ravished my heart out of the world, away from the world, into his garden. He said, I'm coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. And this is our prayer. And I don't know if I've given you this for one of the memory verses, but I pray this all the time myself. Verse 16, our text. I pray this all the time. I love this verse. And so should you. We should awake, O north wind. O God in heaven, come thou south. Blow upon my garden. Come, Holy Spirit. Breathe on me, breath of God. Let the spices thereof blow out. Oh, I need to smell that sweet smelling savor of Christ. And all those spices mentioned, principal spices found in the holy anointed oil and the incense that Aaron burned and the perfume that they wore. It all speaks of Christ. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, blow upon this garden. That's what we all need to pray before we come here. That's what we need to pray about ourselves. We're his garden. Lord, let the spices of praise and glory and honor flow out of me. Don't let me be a murmurer, complainer. My throat is an open sepulcher. Let it be spicy. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits thereof. Our Lord created the first garden full of fruits. His fruit he created. And this new creature in Christ, the Spirit of God, this is the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. And this is what we pray. This is what we hope for. That when the Spirit of God blows upon this garden, that the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance will just flow out. That's what the Lord enjoys. Oh, that's our prayer. And you know, there's no law against which there's no law. There's no law against this John. This new man. The old man's under the curse, the new man's delivered from it. No law against him. He's under the royal law of Christ. What's that? Love. And he's full of these fruits. But we need to pray, Lord. Oh, please blow upon my garden. Blow upon my garden. Okay. Stand with me.